Hi, this is Connie, and welcome to your first class in Slow Down and Tune In. This class is called The Power of Slowing Down. So the way that I'm going to use these weekly classes through the course is to teach you the core principles and practices and guidelines of the content for that week. So you can watch these all in one go and just take some notes in your journal, or you can stop them at different points and dive into the workbook that you get alongside this class. Now, the workbook isn't full of content, it's more so got questions and prompts in it. So those questions will help you dive deeper and self-reflect and discover new things about yourself and apply the principles from the class to your own personal situation. So I think you'll find your own flow with how you want to combine the video class and the workbook, and that's totally up to you. So the way that I'm going to run this class is that I have up on my screen a copy of your workbook so that I can dive into some aspects of that with you, and also my notes so that I can stay on track with everything that I want to cover with you in this class. So you may see me looking to the side at different times as I'm drawing on different parts of the resources that I'm using. So let's get into our first class about the power of slowing down. I have so much to share with you in this beautiful first class. So what we're going to be covering today is we're going to be talking about the power of slowing down, why this is more important than ever, particularly in this day and age that we're living in this crazy world that we're living in, why we really need to be prioritizing slowing down, and even what it means to slow down. I'm going to explore that with you as well. We're going to talk about some of the really powerful and incredible benefits that you can experience from slowing down. Obviously, not just finding more peace and calm, but coming back into connection with your authentic self, your true power, your intuition, being more in tune with your own wants and needs, and also being able to practice deeper levels of self-love and self-care. We're going to explore some of the fears you might have around slowing down. Some of the fears that at the moment might be stopping you slowing down because perhaps that fear-driven voice is really loud and it's been convincing you that you don't have the time or that you're not able to slow down. So I'm going to be teaching you how to work through any of those fears that are coming up and to catch them as well. And I'm going to share 10 powerful practices with you, 10 powerful starting points and tools that you can use to start slowing down your mind and your body and your energy system. They are going to be your beginning practices for this week, and they're going to be what I would like you to be focusing on through this week and even through the entire course as well. So let's start off with talking about what it means to slow down. And you may have begun to explore this in the pre-work. What does it mean to slow down? What does it mean to you? And what ideas do you have in your mind about slowing down, what that's going to require, what that would look like, and maybe what some of the negative consequences? You may think there are negative consequences that would come from slowing down. But what I want to share here is that slowing down doesn't always mean doing less. It doesn't mean being less productive. It doesn't mean being less efficient. It doesn't mean achieving less. It's not realistic for all of us just to say, oh, I just want to sit and meditate every day and sit in nature and go for walks. You know, we have commitments. We have things we need to do. We need to make money. We need to provide for our family. We need to work our jobs, right? So I want you to think about slowing down less as doing less, or less of an action or external thing altogether, but more around who are you being and how are you feeling. It's more of an inner process of slowing down. It's changing the way that you relate to everything. It is shifting the person that you're bringing. Who are you being while you're doing what you're doing? Changing the person that you're bringing to all that you do. Who are you being while you're doing what you're doing? And we don't often think about this because we're so caught up in the doing, that we're not paying attention to how am I feeling while I'm doing this? Where is my mindset at? Where is my energy at? Am I stressed and tense, or am I relaxed and at ease? So slowing down is about changing what's going on inside of you in relationship to everything that's happening outside of you. Changing the way you're thinking and feeling, slowing down your inner world. Slowing down your responses, slowing down your breath, slowing down, you know, dropping into calmer emotions, bringing in some more supportive, nourishing self-talk, And when you create those changes within, when you slow down from within, everything out there becomes so much easier to handle. You actually become more efficient, more effective. You can get more done. When you're really present and you're feeling grounded and calm, you are really efficient. You're focused. You're getting stuff done. So when we slow down our inner world and work with some of the practices and tools we're going to talk about today, it doesn't actually need to have a negative effect on your output or your results at all. It can actually have a really positive effect. And that's what we're going to be exploring today. So just keep that in mind if you've come into this class today with any ideas around what slowing down means. I'm looking at it from more of an inner perspective. Slowing down how you're being and how you're feeling and changing what's going on inside of you as you're showing up in your world. Yeah, that's what we want to look at. And so why is this so important? Well, as we've sort of touched on, we have a big focus on doing in our lives these days and on the external world, outcomes, results, achievement. That sort of is what a lot of us get validation for, or it's a sign of success. And I mean, we all want that as well, right? But we're not really valuing so much the being side of things, how we're feeling, as I said, when we're doing what we're doing. I mean, are we happy? are we feeling grounded and calm? Are we enjoying what we're doing? You know, are we relaxed in our bodies? That's what we want to be looking at. And so with this world that's very focused on doing and achievement, we're all caught up in action. We're very much looking outside of ourselves, often thinking, what's the next thing to do? Where's the next place to go? What's the next goal for me to reach? And we can feel a bit like a hamster on a wheel. And with that way of living, because we're sort of disconnected from our heart, which is the real source of joy and passion and love in our lives and fulfillment, and because we're quite in our minds, without realizing, we are perhaps going after things that aren't even what we truly want. We are going after things thinking they're going to give us a certain feeling, but then we get there and we're like, oh, I really don't feel any different. Perhaps we're doing things because we think it's what's expected of us, what other people want, what society will praise us for. And so we're using a lot of energy doing, and we're not always checking in with why we're doing what we're doing and how we're feeling as we're doing it. And because we're very externally focused, we can get very reactive. You know, so someone asks for something and we do it, and then an email pops in, we react to that. Something comes up on social media, we react to that. You know, the bank calls you saying you're overdue on your payments, you have a reaction to that. And we've sort of got all this stuff coming at us. We're very overstimulated these days. And we're living a little bit in fight or flight, just constantly sort of reacting to what's coming our way and feeling quite out of control about maybe our emotions and what's going on inside of us, feeling that we're having knee-jerk reactions to things rather than being able to consciously choose an empowered response. And because we're so overstimulated as well, I think our nervous systems and our minds are just trying to process too much. You know, if you're a sensitive person like me, we can't handle all the stuff coming at us through social media, through emails, through the media, television, through all the ads that are popping up as you walk down the street. There is so much coming at us. And it's very difficult to hear your own inner voice, to be in tune with your body, to really be feeling what's going on for you, to tapping into your own intuition when your system is overstimulated. And so this slowing down allows us just to create space within ourselves, turn down the volume of everything going on out there, come back within ourselves to really become the source of how we're wanting to feel. We get back in charge of how we're wanting to feel. And we tune in to listen to ourselves, and we then design our lives from that space rather than kind of unconsciously creating a life based on what's coming at us or what other people are wanting. So, you know, a lot of us are feeling pretty tired and worn out and exhausted from the constant doing and the constant stimulation and the striving and the next things. And like I said, we may not be able to stop all of that right away, but you will find your power again when you're changing how you're relating to everything that is outside of you, how you're getting back in charge of your own emotional state, how you're supporting yourself when you feel depleted, how you're putting in boundaries and perhaps saying no when you know you simply can't take on anymore, and how you're managing your mindset as well. That's an important piece because none of us can really thrive if we have a mindset that's just constantly tearing us down or filling us with limiting stories or creating self-doubt or telling us we didn't do good enough, that's draining. And so you'll be learning through this course that as you slow down, you can more clearly see what's going on inside your mind, what you're thinking and telling yourself on a day-to-day basis. And then you can start to shift it. And then you can start to build up everything going on inside of you to support you. You can build up an inner world of beautiful emotions and self-care and mindset, self-talk, the way you think, the connection you have to yourself that can nourish and support you to then go out into the world and thrive and kick some butt and achieve your dreams because you've got the foundation of how you're supporting yourself. So these are some of the benefits of slowing down as I've been touching on, and I want to just go into a few more here. Let's just have a look. You will move when you start to slow down. Part of the intention of this is to move from having solely an external awareness to start to have an inner awareness, like I was talking about. So when we're not aware of our inner world, we can't change what's going on inside of us, and we will be being run by automatic unconscious programming. When we start to create practices to take our attention off the external and come back into ourselves, we have this beautiful inner awareness now. And so that's going to be part of our focus, is to move from purely having an external focus to having an inner awareness. That is a beautiful shift you will find that happens from slowing down. One of the other shifts you'll notice is that you move from living based on external guidance to instead living from your inner guidance. How many of us, and I'm saying me as well, because I have fallen victim to this, have got so affected by what other people are saying, what other people might think, what other people want, other people's expectations, you know, what seems like the right thing to do from a societal perspective, what's expected of us. And we are looking outside of ourselves for who we think we should be. And we're trying to become that. And we're modifying ourselves to become that. It's very unsettling versus when you really come in to be connected to your own inner guidance and you're so in tune with yourself and you know who you are. And you live guided by that. You're strong, you're anchored, you're certain, you're clear. And then, yeah, if people come at you and say, I don't agree with that or I don't like that, you're like, okay, you don't have to because I know my truth and I know who I am. And I am guided from within by that inner guidance. And the external guidance then doesn't affect you so much. That's a very empowering place to be. And that is a big part of the intention of slowing down and coming back inwards. You also move from living in a reactive way to living in a more authentically empowered way. You know, have you ever had that feeling of watching yourself have a reaction to something? Or, yeah, maybe it's an emotional reaction. Maybe you go completely, you know, you just lose it over something and you're like, whoa, where did that even come from? I didn't even feel like I was just in charge of what came over me there. Or, you know, you say something later, you think, whoa, I didn't really want to say that. It's when we're living in a really reactive way. And very often we're reactive because we've got emotions and feelings and needs and things going on inside of us that we're not honoring, and it's all bubbling under the surface, just waiting for something to set us off, you know? And again, we're just being pulled externally constantly. It's like this being a leaf blowing in the wind, just being pulled in all these different directions. Versus again, when you come back into yourself and you get into your own power, your power is where you can see what's going on inside of you and you are empowered and able to change it and shift it. You're in charge of your emotional well-being. You're in charge of what's going on in your mind, and you're choosing your responses. And you also know, this is the other piece of empowerment, is that you're the creator of your reality. So you no longer feel that, you know, I can only do what my bank balance says I can do. I can only do what my partner says I can do. I can only do what my boss says I can do. You know, when we're believing we're only capable of what we think we can have based on what we see outside of us, it's very limiting. When you realize that you're all powerful and you can create your own reality, you get in tune with what you want, and then you know you can create whatever you need outside of you to help you have that. Slowing down is also about shifting from head to heart. Now, when the mind is too overstimulated, when the mind is the dominant energy driving your life, there will be a lot of noise and a lot of activity and a lot going on up there. And this slowing down and coming into the heart allows you to be more guided by what you feel. You know, we all want to feel certain feelings in our lives, happiness, joy, fulfillment, passion, purpose, connection, love. And if we're disconnected from the heart, which is really that energy of feeling, we can go through life just not really feeling much at all. We can feel empty. We can feel lost. We can feel like I'm doing all these things and I'm getting all these things, but where's the fulfillment? And we want to come back into our heart as well so that you can start living guided by what's right for you. Not by what makes sense, what will get you money, what's logical, what other people want to expect, what seems like the right thing to do. But you live by what you feel. You live by what feels good to you. You start to maybe even step onto a different path because you're awakening the energy of your heart that's now saying, here's what I love. I don't care if it makes sense. Follow me because you're meant to live a life that you love. So we want to be awakening up the heart to start to become the key driving force in your life. And when you open up the heart as well, you gain access to loving inner wisdom. You know, fear-based energy very often comes from the mind. It's a learnt pattern of thinking, fear. But the heart, that's the source of love. And love is the true wisdom. Love is the truth of you. You know, fear is learnt. Love is who you really are. When you awaken the heart, you gain access to that voice within that loves you and wants to support you and wants to guide you and wants to help you. So we want to awaken that energy. We're doing a whole class on heart-based energy, so you'll be learning more about that. You also shift from finding love outside of yourself versus finding it within. You know, we can get really addicted to external love. That love can come in the form of getting other people's approval, acceptance, feeling like we belong, getting praise, getting recognition, money even, the love of a partner. And we can get addicted to that. We can become very anxious then when we don't get it. We can run patterns of control in order to get it. And we can change and modify ourselves constantly in order to get it. None of that feels very good. It's not sustainable. But when you start to slow down and look within, you become the source of love. You become the source of the love that you are seeking. You know then what makes you feel loved. You know how to love yourself. You prioritize yourself. You listen to yourself. You're in tune with yourself. You know what fills you up. You know what nourishes you. You're in tune with your own heart. You're speaking to yourself in loving ways. And you fill yourself up from within. You get to show up into all your relationships as your best self, not running on empty, needing that love to try to fill you up and get you feeling secure. We will talk about that as well. We do a whole class on the relationship with yourself, so you'll learn about that. You also are able to shift out of patterns of control when you slow down because you're able to come into a deeper space of surrender. And surrender comes from feeling deeply connected to yourself and to your higher guidance, whatever that means to you. Feeling connected to something greater than you. Feeling that you are being divinely guided and supported. You don't need to know what's going to happen because you know it's being revealed to you step by step. You trust your intuition and where it's telling you to go. So you don't have to control all those factors in order to feel safe. You find safety through your connection with yourself, through your relationship with your own intuition, through trusting that. That's where you find safety and certainty from within. And then you can start to drop those patterns of control that you've been running for years. And you're also able to come out of patterns of judgment. Judgment is an energy that very much comes from the mind, and we are judging all day, every day without realizing. We're constantly labeling things. That's good, that's bad. That's positive, that's negative. That's wrong, that's right. That's lovable, that's not lovable. That's enough, that's not enough. And all of these judgments are creating all these meanings out of our world. And sometimes that's okay. There's nothing wrong with internalizing the world that way, but sometimes we're creating really negative judgments around things and we're making things negative to be negative. We're making them not enough. We're making them wrong. We're making ourselves wrong. It's really not supportive for us. And the other energy that we can then shift into instead is acceptance. The opposite of judgment is acceptance. And that's just allowing. It's allowing life to be as it is. It is allowing whatever comes to us to come to us without that resistance of this shouldn't be happening. I don't like this. This is wrong. This is bad. We get to this place where we trust life, we trust ourselves, we allow life to unfold how it's meant to, we accept what is unfolding, we're not at war with life. We start to accept ourselves. We might not be able to fall head over heels in love with ourselves, but we say, you know, I am who I am, and that's okay. Right now, I'm enough. I accept where I'm at. I accept that this is how much money I have. I accept that this is what my body looks like, and that's okay. There's so much more ease to acceptance. And if you can stop fighting with life and labeling things as wrong and bad, we'll talk more about this through the course, but it can become so much more peaceful, that way of living. And that, again, is a byproduct of slowing down the mind and becoming more aware of what's going on inside the mind. And we'll talk about that in our mindfulness class, which is coming up soon. So at this point, I want to have a look at your workbook, and I want you to start to think about these questions here. So what typically triggers you to speed up, move faster, rush, maybe push, become tense, tighten, feel stressed, feel anxious? What triggers that for you? Think about when something happens, what causes that response in you? And also, what areas of life or situations does this happen in the most? What does it look like when you live in this way? How do you notice that you're acting? How does your behavior change? What unfolds in your energy and how you're feeling? What's the inner dialogue that goes through your mind? How do you speak to yourself when you're in that energy space, that fast-moving, stressed, anxious, pushing, rushing, very externally focused? What is your self-talk like? What are the sort of stories that are going through your mind? Now, some of these questions, you might sort of say, I don't know, I've never thought about that before. And that's the whole reason I'm asking them. The purpose of the workbooks is to help you create more self-awareness, because when you're aware of something, then you can change it. The first step to creating change is the awareness, because a lot of these patterns of behavior will just be running on autopilot, will just be automatically happening. A lot of us don't even realize what goes through our mind most of the time. And so through awareness, when you start to slow down enough to witness, oh, what goes on inside of me when I'm in that really fast moving or stressed or rushed kind of energy? And how am I speaking to myself and how am I feeling? Incredible self-awareness, because once you can see that and you can see what's not working for you, then we can change it and put something else in its place. So if you find any of these questions a bit confronting or challenging, I encourage you just to sit with it, keep an open mind, be curious to discover something new about yourself, lean into the question and just sit with it and play with it and just observe yourself more until you get some clarity. Like I said, that really is the purpose of the workbooks, is just to give you a whole lot more self-awareness so that we can create change. All right, let's move on to talking about the fears you may have about slowing down. Because what stops us slowing down majority of the time is fear. And it is the fear of the consequences, the fear of the repercussions, a kind of worst case scenario we have in our mind of what will happen if we do slow down. So we want to look at that. We want to actually witness and understand what that fear is for you, what that voice in your mind is telling you. We almost want to become the witness of that story. We're going to talk about that in the upcoming classes. Again, because when you can witness it, it doesn't quite have as much power over you. When you're unconscious and that story is just speaking to you and you're just acting off that pattern of thinking, you don't feel very powerful. But when you can witness that, when you can see what the story is and say, oh, look, there's this fear-based thinking in my mind and this is not how I want to think and I want to change it, then you're back in the driver's seat. So what are some of the key fear-based stories that go through your mind around slowing down? There may be fear of falling behind, fear of being lazy, feeling lazy and being unproductive, just getting nothing done, wasting time, wasting a day. Feelings of guilt. A lot of people do feel guilt with slowing down, that it's indulgent, that they're being selfish, that again, they're wasting time. Maybe there's fears here that nothing will be achieved, that you won't reach your goals or your outcomes and get to where you're wanting to go. Maybe you fear that you're not going to get the results that you want that typically come from efforting. You know, we've kind of got this mentality in our society that the harder you work, the more you gain. The harder you work, the more money you make. The harder you work, the further you get ahead. The harder you work, the better the results. And I don't know, I'd like to challenge that idea. And we're going to talk about this later through the course, but I'm a big believer that it's not just your action that creates results. It's the energy you bring to that action. The energy you're bringing to it is infused into your action and determines the quality of the results that you get. Now, that might seem a little bit mind-blowing to you, but think about it. If you're taking action on something, say something that's important to you. Maybe you're in sales and you're putting something out into the world and wanting to sell, wanting to make some money. Or maybe you're creating something beautiful, right? And you're showing up and taking the action, but your body's tense, you're barely breathing, you're feeling like a feeling of self-doubt, you're feeling lack, you're feeling limitation, you're feeling, I don't have enough time, I'm scared I'm not going to make money off this, is this going to work, is this good enough? All of that is being infused into what you're creating. We can't disregard the power of our energy and how we're feeling as we're doing what we're doing. So one, through focusing more on how you're feeling, you'll get to infuse beautiful feelings of perhaps abundance, love of what you're creating, service of what you're wanting to offer others, belief in yourself, excitement around what you're creating. Imagine infusing that into what you're doing rather than the previous energy. I mean, what you could create from that space would be completely different. It would be completely different. So let's talk now about how to work through some of these fears that may be coming up for you. What do you do when these fears come up? The first thing I'm going to get you to do is stop and notice them. And I want you to think about in yourself, and you might start to bring awareness to this. What goes on inside of you when that fear-based story is playing out? And you know, you may have discovered this in the first couple of questions in the workbook. Do you get tense? Does your way of thinking become really negative? Do you go into an emotional kind of meltdown? Do you feel emotional? Do you stop breathing? What goes on inside of you when you're noticing this kind of energy play out for you, this fear-driven, push, rush, I don't have time, push ahead kind of energy? You want to notice that. That's your indicator. And I want you to start to pay attention to how you feel enough that you can know when this is playing out for you. And in that moment, I want you to stop. And I want you to ask yourself, what was I just thinking? What was I just telling myself? Because your body is responding to what's going on in your mind. Your body is responding to the thoughts that you're thinking and what you're telling yourself. So stop and think, what was there a fear-based story that I was telling myself? What was just going on inside of my mind that caused me to be feeling this way? So you want to notice that. And when you notice that, you want to stop and you want to pause. And maybe you'll take a deep breath and you'll notice, wow, there is this fear-driven thinking playing out in my mind. Wow, there is this story that I don't have enough time, that I'm not going to meet my deadline, that I'm not going to get the results that I want. I want you to notice that. There is this fear, there is a story in my mind that I can't relax because I don't have time. I can't take a break because I don't have time. I can't go and eat my lunch because I don't have time, whatever it is. And you might like to write it down. You know, sometimes it's really valuable to get the noise out of your mind and onto a page. You know, write it down. Write out what is going on in your mind at that time so you can look at it and be like, oh, whoa, look at that story that's going on inside my mind. So when you notice it, I then want you to stop and pause and just take a breath into it and notice how you feel in your body. Notice what that fear-based energy is doing to you. Take a breath into that. And if you can, now it depends where you are and what situation that you're in. If you can, I want you to not act on whatever that fear-driven voice is telling you. I want you to witness it, but not act on it. So a small example, when I first started practicing slowing down, I would try to take breaks from work and I would sit on the couch and relax, I don't know, for half an hour and just eat some food. And this whole time, this voice was in my mind saying, you can't relax, don't slow down, you don't have time, we've got so much to do. And it would say, you need to get up. You need to get up off the couch and you need to get back to the computer. And so I would witness and watch that, and I would breathe into that. Whew, and I'd feel all the discomfort in my body around it because it's uncomfortable. And I would notice that voice, but I wouldn't act on it. I wouldn't do what that fear-driven voice was telling me. And instead, I would make a new choice in that moment. And I would remind myself why I was slowing down and taking a break. And I would remind myself that how I wanted to feel while I was doing what I was doing was important, that I wanted to bring a beautiful, nourishing energy to my work rather than a depleted, stressed energy. And so I needed to take this time for myself so that I could be my best self when I was working. And so I'd sort of talk myself through that. Similar thing when I would wake up in the morning some mornings and my mind would be running immediately. You need to go straight to the computer and start working. We have so much to get through today. You need to get straight onto the computer now. And I would notice that. And I'd notice the feeling in my body of just wanting to like jump out of bed, fight or flight. And I would breathe into that and I would remind myself, no, I need time for me before I start work today. I've got more than enough time. Everything's going to get done. Don't worry. And then I would choose something else in that moment. Rather than choosing to act on fear, I would choose to act on love. And I would ask, no, what is something nourishing I can do for myself? What is something that I could do before I start work that feels like it's guided by my heart and what's good for me? And that's when I would consciously choose, instead of doing what fear said, to sit and meditate, to journal, to do some stretching on my yoga mat, to go for a walk, to go down to the beach and watch the sunrise, whatever it was. And so this is what I want you to do when fear arises. Notice the fear-based story, notice what it's wanting you to do, but you stop. You get back in your power, you get back in charge. Take a breath, feel the discomfort, and then consciously choose something else. Change how you're speaking to yourself and consciously choose a more loving, nourishing, supportive action step in that moment. Doesn't mean that you can't eventually act on what fear has said, but you want to do that consciously, not from a space of reaction. And instead, you want to choose to do something in that moment that will help you slow down, feel more connected to yourself and nourish yourself. Change your thinking to more of a love-driven space and change your action to more of an empowering space. And that is a beautiful way to pivot out of that fear. It does mean sometimes sitting with what makes you uncomfortable. And that's often why we just jump into action, because we're actually trying to avoid what we're feeling. But if you can sit and breathe into the feeling, but then still choose to do something different in that moment, then that's the practice. You can also write it out. I often encourage people to get a piece of paper and write on one side everything that fear is saying, and then write on the other side what love is saying. So think about what your heart would say to you, what your higher self would say to you, what your best friend would say to you, or if you were your own best friend, what he would say to you, you know, what the universe would say to you, and see if you can tap into some guidance that's different to the fear-based guidance, but is true loving inner guidance. And you can draw on that anytime. We're going to talk about this through the course, but you can consciously change your thinking from fear to love if you just ask a different part of you for some new thoughts. Might take some practice, but that's part of the work. All right. So what I get you to do, and we're going to talk about now, 10 powerful practices that are going to support you with slowing down your mind, body, and your energy. And I get you in the workbook to just start thinking about ways that you want to start practicing slowing down, even if it's just slowing down how you move, slowing down, you know, your reactions and responses to things. It's more of the inner slowing down rather than slowing down necessarily externally. How would slowing down feel in your body? How would it impact your emotions and energy? How would your self-talk change? How would your inner dialogue change? What would be different? I want you to start tapping into the feeling of this. If you were feeling calmer, moving more slowly, living more presently, how would you be showing up differently in every area of your life? What version of yourself would your family and your partner get and your children get? What would you be like in your career? What would you be like in your relationship with yourself? How would you be relating differently to yourself? Think about how making these inner changes, how it would affect everything out there, who you're being, the energy that you're bringing, how people are getting to experience you. All right, so then I start taking you into the practices that you can start to implement and little changes you want to start to make. So let's now get into the 10 practices that I have for you. The first one is using the word slow as a mantra. So you can use slow, go slow, slow down, but repeat that in your mind because your body responds to your thoughts. And if you are saying enough times to yourself, slow down, just go slow today. Just slow. Let's just be slow today. Versus we need to move faster. We don't have enough time. Oh my God, I'm running late. I don't have time to eat. I don't have time to sit down. Like watch how you're speaking to yourself. But if you can start to bring in slow as a guiding word, slow down. I very often say that to myself. It's okay, Connie, just slow down. Sometimes just hearing that from ourselves can be a wonderful practice. The second thing is breath. Again, this might sound obvious, but use breath as an anchor. Use breath as a tool to slow down. Become aware of your breath. Notice what happens to your breathing when you're stressed and anxious and overwhelmed. Sometimes that's a powerful first step is just to notice, am I even breathing right now? Because sometimes we're not. So you can use something as simple as 5 deep belly breaths to help you find your center again, to help you get grounded, to help you come back into your body, to help you slow down. Use that as often as you need. When I had a day job, I used to very often do little bathroom breaks and I would go sit in the toilet cubicle and just take 5 deep breaths and recenter myself. When you do it, put your hand over your belly. So make sure you're breathing right down into your belly. Because sometimes we're still breathing up in the chest and it's still a bit shallow. So breathe right down into your belly, plant your feet on the floor, come back into your body. Breath can be a beautiful tool for slowing down. I also want to encourage you to use slow movement. So most of us, when we think about movement, we think about speeding up, burning calories, working up a sweat, getting our heart rate up, running and all the fast moving things. But if you're a fast moving person, and you don't really slow down much, I'd encourage you to take on some slow movement practices. Could be as simple as going to yoga, a yin yoga class even, some tai chi, some dance, just some slow moving dance, some stretching, maybe swimming if it's warm enough where you are, just a gentle nature walk. Movement that actually helps you come back into the present moment, come back into your body and slow down your body. So look at practicing that and also look at practicing slowing down how you walk. I'm very much an A to B walker. I'm like, I've got to get to my destination and I'm going to get there as fast as I can. Head down, not interested in the external world. I'm getting there. And that doesn't work very well for me because I'm often tense and anxious while I'm moving through the world. And I'm also, I feel like I'm closing off to everything around me. So you may need to leave the house 15 minutes earlier each day or a bit earlier each day just to give yourself time to move at a slower pace to get places. You'll notice a huge difference in yourself if you can just slow down when you walk and then deepen your breathing and actually just enjoy moving your body rather than rushing. My next practice is about creating time in the morning for yourself. And we talked about a morning ritual in our pre-work. I don't want your morning ritual to feel like a to-do list, and I don't want you to feel like you're trying to cram so much in there that by the time you get to work, you feel like you've already just worked a full-time job. I used to get to my day job after my morning routines and felt like I'd run a marathon already. I would actually prefer it to be more simple. I'd prefer it to be more spacious for you. Maybe pick one thing that you focus on. It could be reading a book, drawing an oracle card, writing in your journal, stretching your body, going for a nature walk, sipping on some tea and staring out the window, listening to a podcast, maybe one thing, and create space for yourself in the morning. Just have that intention to connect with yourself, even if it's just for a short period of time, before you start getting lost in the world out there. Check in with yourself and just become aware of what's going on inside of you that day. Maybe set an intention around something you want to feel. Maybe think about what's going to be coming into your day and then think about how you want to be responding to it and handling it in an empowered way. But just prioritize time and space for yourself in the morning if you can. Number 5 is tune in before you make decisions. This is a beautiful practice and I love this one because sometimes we just keep saying yes to things, or we just say yes immediately when something comes our way without stopping to ask, do I want to do that? Does that feel good to me? Is that a commitment I want to have in my calendar? Do I have time for that this week? Does that person's company light me up? And we're not asking ourselves, and then we wonder why either our lives are filled with things that we don't want to do and that don't light us up, or we have no time for ourselves because we're so heavily committed, or we feel like our own wants and needs are being neglected. It's because we're not asking ourselves what we want to do before we say yes. So every single decision is an opportunity to tune into you. And you'll have the courage to either say no to people or to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that today. I can do that for you tomorrow. Or sorry, I'm not available this weekend because I need some time for myself. Can we catch up next weekend? When you check in with what you need, you can then tell other people what you need. You need to be honest with yourself first before you can be honest with others. So take that time to tune into what feels good and right to you. And just feel into your body, like bring in the possibility of saying yes and notice how your body responds. Do you feel like maxed out at capacity, like you can't breathe, like there is no way I could bring that on? Or does it feel like, yeah, that's something I'd like to do. That would be nice. That'd be great. Great. Let's lock it in. Check in with yourself before you move your body, before you go, you know, if you typically go to the gym every night, maybe tune in and say, do I feel like the gym tonight? Maybe I feel like a different way of moving. Maybe I feel like yoga. Maybe I feel like dance. Actually ask yourself what you want and need. It's a beautiful thing to do. So tune in before you make any decision. You know, if you're someone that just typically eats the same thing every day, tune in before you eat and ask your body, what do you feel like today? How can I nourish you? What do you want? Really beautiful practice. Number 6 is to focus on the journey, not just the outcome. Because so many of us, when we're trying to get to outcomes, sometimes we're just like gritting our teeth and not breathing and just trying to get there as fast as possible. And we're not savoring the journey. We're not enjoying the journey of our lives. We're not enjoying the process. And we're sort of waiting, like, I'll be happy when I get to that destination. It's like, be happy now. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the unfolding. Enjoy where you are right now. Enjoy the process. And I was thinking about this, you know, I used to cook in a way that was very much about getting an outcome. I just want a meal to eat. But now, you know, I use cooking almost as a meditative practice, as a way to get really present to myself and really present while I'm cutting up the vegetables and to really feel and tune into what I'm going to be eating and how nourishing it's going to be for me and to really enjoy the process. Like, I love the process now. Same with exercise even. If you only exercise for the outcome and you actually don't enjoy the experience, don't do it. What a waste of energy. Find a way to move that feels good to you. So, you know, sometimes we can do something like just go for a walk for the pure intention of enjoying the walk, enjoying the sun on your skin, enjoying the smell of the trees or the flowers, enjoying seeing what's around you, making eye contact with people who walk past because that's a person you've never seen before and maybe never see again. And how cool is that? Life is so amazing and we're not looking around, we're not experiencing it. So slow down enough to enjoy the journey of everything. Maybe just bring some awareness to that. Number 7 is pause. Find little pockets of time throughout your day to pause. The power of the pause is so beautiful. Pause before you send an email. Pause before you say yes to something. Pause before you respond to someone. Pause before you speak. Pause when you have a little moment of space. Maybe you go into the kitchenette to make a tea and you can just pause for a minute and just be still. You know, we're always moving. Pause and be still and just take a little pocket of space for yourself to just take a breath and be like, this is a little moment for me to recenter. You know, pause, say you drive to work and you're sitting in your car and you might normally just rush out of the car and get into work. Pause for 1 to 5 minutes to just sit and breathe and center before you then step into the office, for example. Look at all these little transition points in your life where you're moving from one thing to another. They are all little opportunities just to pause and find yourself again. Take a breath, come back to yourself. Number 8 is use self-soothing practices. So I most of you probably know this already, but I want you to start to really know and uncover what it is that soothes you. You know, what it is that soothes and supports your body, your nervous system, your emotions. These might sound like really simple things, but they're incredibly important. So I like to look at the senses. Sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And I like to look at things in each of those areas that I can use, because if I draw on all of them, they really help calm and slow my nervous system. So from a sight perspective, I find dim lights, candlelight, all the blinds down in a dark room much more calming than if I'm in bright lights. So immediately, if you come home and turn the lights off and light a candle, you'll already notice your nervous system just drops down a notch. You just get to relax. From a sound perspective, I love gentle, beautiful music. I have my Slow Down and Tune In playlist there that you can listen to. I'm big into that type of music. And literally sometimes just starting to play that playlist is enough to slow me down. Either no sound as well is also another option. So putting earplugs in or noise cancelling headphones can really help you relax. Smells, you know, I'm big into incense, essential oils, scented candles, sage, Palo Santo, you know, the smell of a beautiful herbal tea. Know what those smells are that really help relax you. Taste, again, a herbal tea or a beautiful hot cacao and coconut milk. Know what those tastes are that really help you relax. It could be a big comforting homemade meal. And touch, you know, for me, having a nice soft rug below my feet. So taking my shoes off, getting my feet on the rug, or getting out in grass, getting out on the earth, getting out on the sand, does wonders for your nervous system. And also for me, being in soft, comfortable clothing. So I will change clothes as soon as my workday ends, because that immediately shifts the energy space that I'm in. It helps me relax. So write out what those things are for you. I get you to do it a bit in the workbook and know what the things that you can draw on are to help you self-soothe. Number 9 is about removing distraction, stimulation, and simplifying. Removing all of the excess. So, you know, have one tab open at one time. Sometimes the amount of tabs that people have open, I just simply don't understand. I work with one tab at one time and it is incredible. It helps you focus on one thing at a time. Put your phone on airplane mode sometimes. Remove all your notifications. Please turn off notifications. Please don't have that thing pinging at you. Even keep your phone on silent. I personally do. I'm like, you can always call someone back. You know, just be mindful of the amount of stimulation coming at you all the time. You know, turn the TV off if you're not watching it. Just let yourself be in silence. You know, have set times that you access social media or email. If they're trigger points for you, only access them at certain times when you're feeling in a good energy space. Try not to multitask if you can. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing it, but you know, if you're going to go for a walk, just go for a walk. Don't take your phone. If you're going to focus on cooking dinner, you don't maybe need to listen to a podcast at the same time. I mean, you can, but sometimes it's nice just to really focus on one thing at a time and be really present to it. Can actually really help you slow down. So the other most powerful thing you can do is say no. You know, if you don't have enough space to slow down, if you don't have enough space for yourself, start saying no more. Let there be more room in your calendar and in your life, because you're saying no to other people. You're saying yes to yourself. Yeah. And number 10 is check in on yourself regularly. So, you know, we so often are saying to others, how are you? How are you feeling? What's going on for you? Where are you at? And we need to be doing that for ourselves. So check in on yourself regularly. Do it as part of your morning practice. Maybe you sit down each day with your journal, or you just do it with yourself and you ask, what's going on for me today? How am I feeling? Where am I at? What's going on in my mind? What's going on in my energy? What's going on in my emotions? How am I feeling today? What's going on for me? And it's a really nice thing to do to check in on yourself. When you can do a little scan through and notice what's there, and you can ask, what am I going to need today? What will I need today to support me with what I'm feeling and maybe to help me feel better? And then as you're going through the day, keep checking in on yourself. And I check in on myself a lot through the day, just taking a breath and being like, where am I at? How am I feeling? What's going on inside of me? What energy am I bringing to what I'm doing right now? What do I need? Do I need a break? Do I need some water? Do I need something to eat? Do I need to get outside in nature? Do I need to phone a friend? What do I need? And that's a beautiful chance to slow down in those moments. Just do little check-ins with yourself and tune back in, see how you're feeling and see what you need. Really beautiful practice. So I encourage you in the workbook to look at little changes of things that you can integrate and bring on. Little things that will help you with slowing down. I want this to feel attainable for you as a starting point. Just start small if you need to. I also get you to write out things like what your favorite self-care practices are, your favorite songs, your favorite smells, your favorite podcasts, your favorite movement practices, and your favorite mantras. A mantra can be something as simple as, it's all okay, everything's going to be okay, I've got more than enough time. Just take it one step at a time, just take it one day at a time, we're going to get this sorted, everything's going to be okay, you're okay, I love you. It's okay to slow down. It's safe to slow down. I can slow down and still get everything done. Remember that when you slow down and you bring a different energy space to what you're doing, you will be more effective and efficient. You'll be more clear-headed. You'll be calmer. You'll feel more nourished from within, and you will bring your best self to all you're doing. We all know how much clearer we can think when we feel calm and relaxed than when we feel overwhelmed and frazzled. So just keep that in mind as you're moving through, to be really paying attention to how you're feeling while you're doing what you're doing and actually prioritize how you're feeling and where your energy is at over just your action. See if you can do that. All right, my love, so that is your class for this week. This was probably one of the longer classes. I had a lot to cover in this class. They'll sort of alternate between being probably between 30 minutes to 60 minutes, mostly around the 45-minute mark. I'll try to keep it there for you. But I really hope you enjoy that class as a starting point. Please come on over to our Facebook community and share any experiences, insights, learnings, realizations, anything that you want support with, anything from the workbook that you want to share. I would love to hear experiences of this class. Enjoy this week of slowing down, and I look forward to seeing you in our next class.